This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey with Suratul Falaq, or completing the surah, because the theme continues from Suratul Falaq into Suratul Nas. By the completion of this surah, or these two surahs, Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, is a completion of the Qur'an. Or rather, it links with the beginning of the Qur'an to the end of the Qur'an. That how the theme of the Qur'an it begins, it also ends with that theme as well. Al-Isti'anatu Billahi Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The Qur'an begins by speaking about Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. You alone we worship and you alone we seek aid and assistance from. And this surah completes that same journey, as if the whole of the journey of the Qur'an is seeking aid and assistance with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or via those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid and assistance via patience and as-salah, the virtue, the fada'il of salah, the power, the impact of salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. As-salah takes an individual away from al-fawahish, takes him away from munkarat, from evil. And likewise, sabr, patience. So one becomes a physical display of action, of perseverance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one's prayer, and the other becomes the perseverance of one's heart. This is what many of us we lack inside our lives, a concept of spirituality, that some of us can maybe carry out the dogma and theology, what belief is, but an internal belief of conviction and trust and reliance and total dependence and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us may be far away from this concept of true taqarrub ilallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Qur'an begins by speaking about only worship me and seek assistance from me. And the Qur'an ends by highlighting the same thing. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That I seek refuge with the Rabb of Nas, of mankind. Don't turn to mankind, human beings. Because human beings can't benefit any individual. Neither inside this dunya, وَلَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَحَتَّى فِي الْآخِرَةِ. It is only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even the Prophet alayhi salam is going to be allowed to do al-shafa'ah. When he will go down in a state of prostration and certain supplications will be bestowed upon him that he never knew before. Then it was said to him, raise your head, ask and it will be given to you. Intercede and intercession will be granted. So even intercession of the Prophet isn't open, as some people may perceive and think inside their lives, that it's over-reliance, that by default, by being a Muslim, that I'll go to Jannah. By default, being a believer in the Prophet, I will go to Jannah. This is, if we can use such words, a concept of deviancy trickling into our belief and into our lives, that we become stagnant in our actions, that because I'm a Muslim, so by default I deserve X, Y, and Z should be given to me, and there should be no effort upon this dunya. When the Quran is replete with ayat speaking about are those individuals, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَشْتَوُونَ. When the Quran speaks, those people are rebellious and wicked individuals. Can they be like the believing individuals? Are those who are the real believers and those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they going to be similar inside this dunya or similar inside an akhirah? So we should protect ourselves with the belief and the conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one by his infinite justice and mercy allows certain calamities, or you mentioned certain difficulties, to befall an individual. And you mentioned that many of the ulama, they mentioned that calamities that befall the individual, if they awaken the individual. Does you read the wisdom of al-fitan, of trials and tribulations, amongst the hikam, the wisdom, the fawa'id, the fada'il, the virtues of fitan and trials and tribulation is to awaken the person, is to awaken the individual to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that these four external elements in Surah Al-Falaq, these are dangerous in itself. The darkness of the evening, the wickedness of those who blow on knots, and the hardships that take place. These are external attacks or ailments that can befall the individual. What is stronger than that is attacks on the heart. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. That's how many ulama tafsir speak about. Those are four external elements inside Suratul Falaq. But more dangerous than that is your soul, is your nafs. You know, many of us, our soul is in a state of amaratun bisu, and may Allah forbid, in a state of always inclining towards evil. That's why Allah mentions that Surah Yusuf, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. You know, the soul is always calling towards harm, towards promiscuity. Even the context of these ayat is about Yusuf alayhi salam and the wife of Aziz. We take the name in some works of Tafasir, Zulaykha. That's the context that placed inside the environment, the soul will awaken towards these carnal desires. Towards these desires, the person is surrounded in that environment, the soul will awaken towards temptation such nature. Likewise, other souls, those are a soul which is lawama, which I hope that many of us are, that sometimes we're in a good state, sometimes in a bad state, or we're always questioning ourselves, blaming ourselves, that why did I do this, why didn't I do that? And the final goal being an-nafsul mutma'inna, being at the state of total peace and contentment in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for the individual in this dunya, and likewise more so inside al-akhirah. So the governing of the soul, the working of the soul is real spirituality. When you zakih him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 3 or 4 times inside the Quran that the role of the Prophet alayhi salam is to purify them. What does it mean when you zakih him? What is purification? Purification of the soul. Read numerous works of ulama, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Imam al-Ghazali, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Read their works about spirituality. That many of us have forgotten to focus upon the inner soul. Because the human being isn't a human being by their physical strength. That's one element of strength. A mu'min al-qawi yahabbu ila Allah min mu'min al-da'if. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. And both of them, goodness inside, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. There's no doubt the physical strength that a person has, there should be of that nature. But some of these physical strength that we have, we can't remove the blanket to wake up for Salatul Fajr. We find it hard to pray 5 times a day inside the masjid, to fast, to do righteous actions, do good actions. But we could do all these other physical strength buildings inside our life. That if a person doesn't go to the gym every single day, they complain, I'm losing my strength. What about the spiritual awakening within yourself? How many days are you aloof from the masjid? How many days are you away from jama'ah? How many days are you away from fajr? That's you need to build your spirituality, the strength. Look at some of the companions. Not all of them were physically strong, but they had physical iman, spiritual iman within them. That people were worried about them. Because the strength of iman, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. The strength of iman, قُوَّةُ الْإِمَانِ, has a great strength, a great power that some of us we undermine. What is salah in jama'ah? There's more important things. What's so important about salah? How will that give us strength inside our lives? How will that give us unity inside our lives? How to make us conquer again once inside our lives? فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Look at the state of jama'ah. As-salah bil jama'ah. Look at how many people attend the masajid. How many people flock towards it. Focus upon it inside their lives. It's visible. So by default, the physical state of us Muslims is what is just a reflection of our own selves. That's the beginning point. A reflection of our own selves is why we're living in this turmoil and this tribulation that we find. And a lack of focusing upon our own souls and our nafs. That's why Imam Sabur inside Tafsir mentioned that, as we mentioned, seeking aid and assistance is how the Quran begins and how it ends as well. And worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first commandment inside the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. Allah didn't say, oh believing individuals, oh Muslims. Allah made this khitab, Ya ayyuhan nas, to the whole of mankind. Awwal amr fil Quran. The first commandment inside the Quran is to the whole of humanity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the end of the Quran is speaking about the whole of mankind. يَتَكَرَّرْ الْإِسْمْ النَّاسِ. النَّاسِ occurs inside Surah An-Nas 5 times. 6 ayat, 5 times Allah repeats the concept of an-nas, mankind, human beings. To highlight that the human beings, no matter what rank and whatever position they achieve inside their life, they are all أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ وَالْغَنِيِّ. We are all in a state of impoverished state in front of Allah. Allah is al-ghani, is all rich. Doesn't need any of us. Doesn't need our ibadah. That some of us may think that I'm doing some great service to Islam. That my ibadah, my worship, my righteousness, my goodness, it does nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of hadith Qudsi that we find, just like you dip like a finger or a needle into the ocean, what clings to it? That is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given everything on the face of this earth to every single individual, or a person becomes the best believing individual face of this earth, or a wicked individual. It has no impact upon the dominion and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Seek refuge with the master, the Rabb of Nas, of mankind. Don't seek refuge from people. Don't seek protection from people. Don't turn towards people. And as we find this completion of the Quran, beginning of the Quran, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah also highlights this great deep relationship between Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Nas. When Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, if you flip it over to Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. By default, everything in the worlds, in the heavens and the earth, human beings, mankind, the unseen world, all of that, the master is who? Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Falls into mankind as well. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, malikin nas. Then Allah says after a verse inside Surah Al-Fatiha, maliki yawmiddin. That Allah is the king, qara'a the maliki or maliki. The king or the master of the day of judgment. Ilahi nas. Allah mentions Surah Al-Nas. Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. The deity of mankind, the one that needs to be worshipped. And Allah says inside Surah Al-Fatiha, worship only me. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created the jinn and the human being except for to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويقول ابن عباس ليوحدون, to single out only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ibadah. That's what the human being is, has been designed and programmed for. When Allah said to every single one of our souls, أَلَشْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى. Allah said to every single one of our souls, this if you want to use the computer word, this program, this chip inside our body is programmed that before we came out in existence or production of the human being, every single one of us was asked this question in the heavens. أَلَشْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. All of our souls testified that yes, our Lord, indeed, بَلَى. Affirmation, indeed, you are our Lord. Lest you say on that day when you return back to me, إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Lest you try to say on that day when you return back to me, we were heedless, we were unaware, we never knew. The fitra, fitrat Allah fatara an-nasa alayha la tabdila li khalqi Allah. The fitrah of the human being has been programmed to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's external environment that drags the individual away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though deep down inside their hearts. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ أَفَلَا يُبْصِرُونَ. It's even their own selves. There are signs to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that needs to be worshipped and to be obeyed. So that's this surah, or these two surahs as we mentioned, the fadail of using these two surahs to protect ourselves from whatever external elements of evil and internal elements of evil that may attack the human being. And as we mentioned last week, some of us, we think we're beyond, you know, we're some superhuman beings that, you know, a person can't fall ill or fall sick or come in a state of some form of oppression or depression or being upset or being worried or being sad. There's nothing wrong with that as a human being. That's the nature of the human being. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the Prophet said to him, don't be sad, don't grieve, don't be upset. إن الله معنا. The companions in the coming of the pilgrimage, they all were upset. They refused to offer the sacrifice. Because by human nature, they felt they're going to go enter into Makkah, perform the pilgrimage. But the Prophet, he went and he offered the sacrifice to show them, and then that lifted their spirits. So we need to understand human beings, the nature of human beings. There are moments in a human being's life that they're worried, they're upset. But how do they alleviate this depression or this worry? Well, how do they alleviate? By turning to spiritual cure. And like what you mentioned, do not ignore the medical cure as well, but turn to spirituality. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, as we mentioned that Hadith Bukhari, this individual, Labid ibn A'sam al-Yahudi, this individual who sahara Nabi alayhi salatu salam, who done magic upon the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. For 6 months that we find the Prophet was disturbed in a sense that he never knew whether he attended, he came to his family members, or he never came to them. وَحَتَّى بَعْدَ الْمُؤَرِّخِينَ Ulama of Sirah, they write that he began to lose some elements of his hair, and his sickness and his worry was upon him. And then one night, that he, in his sleep, an angel came at the top of his head, and another angel came to the bottom of his blessed feet, and they began to discuss that what is wrong with the Prophet ﷺ. They said that he, إِنَّوْ الْمَبْلُوطُ Mabloot, he's become Yani Bimana Mashur. That he's been bewitched, that magic has been done upon him. And it is highlighted, who done that magic? This individual, where is the cure for this magic? They took the blessed hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and took the comb and intertwined it and then buried it inside a well. Placed it inside a well underneath a rock and placed it there. So when the Prophet alayhi salam, he awoke, he told Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zubayr ibn Awam and another companion, go there and pluck out this sorcery, this magic from the well. And some of them write that for 11 knots were placed there for every single knot. Read one ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-Falaq being 6 ayat and Surah Al-Nas being 5 ayat, being 11. And from every knot that's being taken away, the magic was being lifted away from the Prophet alayhi salam, until he'd returned back to a normal state. And as we mentioned last week, this isn't something that Orientalists can use to prove that the Quran was a revelation or there's a hindrance in revelation. It's all the ulama unanimous are agreed. It never affected the Quran. But what it shows us is the impact that there is evil in the world. That's what ulama speak about, as-sihr, about magic, about the ranks of those people involved in magic, al-mushrikun. We shouldn't fall short of it. And then we find amongst our own selves in the Muslim community as well, how many, every other individual that speak to, there's some involvement in magic, or sihr, or al-hasad, or al-ayn that we find rampant inside our society. And some people, they believe in just a quick fix in going to another individual. This is ruqya al-shari'iyya. This is what ruqya is, to read al-fatiha, to read ayatul kursi, to read al-ikhlas, al-falaq, al-nas. The Prophet every single night would read it 3 times and blow and place it upon his body. But when he fell ill and sick, he told Aisha, a mother radiallahu anha, to do that upon him. Why is he doing that inside his life? Does he fear any human being? Does he fear anyone? Is he worried about any individual? But it's a symbol to teach us how to protect ourselves. Protect ourselves on a daily basis and protect our children, protect our family members. So that's Allah mentions, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرُّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ From the evil of khannas, then you find that khannas is one that comes and goes, that enters, that comes and goes. That's what you find in some ulama even go to read as the name of shaitan himself, that he comes and he goes, he enters into the mind and he leaves the individual and whispers into the heart and to the mind of the individual to derail them, to take them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're seeking refuge. As Imam Ash-Shanqiti inside his tafsir, he mentions that this verse of seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is similar to Surah Al-An'am towards the end that we find in the side point, Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter, Surah Al-Tawheed. Read Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, 6th Surah of the Quran. Read the whole Surah. It's nothing but Tawheed. Another name of Surah is Surah Al-Tawheed. Speak about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِي رَبًّا وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He said this verse, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, is like this ayah inside the Quran. Should I turn, seek another Rabb besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and He's the Lord and the Master of everything. I should not be turning towards anything else inside my life. I should be only turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a strange thing that is this ayah is 163 inside Surah Al-An'am. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned before it. What did Allah say before this? قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Look at the Quran, it bonds itself together. That your prayer, your sacrifice, your living and your dying is all dedicated towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentioned that, should I seek another Rabb besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And He's the master over everything. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be wary about these elements of hardship that can befall upon the individual. Min sharil waswasil khannas. Some ulama said this is like the verse of waswasa ilayhi shaytan. Shaytan came and for waswasa, He came in and whispered, and some of the ulama of tafsir began to discuss the linguistics of waswasa. Waswasa is the rubbing of your clothes, your garments together, that soft sound it makes. Meaning this is an intricate, detailed format of shaitan, of how he whispers to the individual. Just delicately whispers something into the mind of the individual. That's what he's going to say on the Day of Judgment. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Inside Surah Ibrahim, shaitan's going to say, don't blame me. Blame your own self. All that I did is I called you, I whispered to you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Then you responded to me. So blame your own self. Don't try to blame me inside your life. For I just done the whispering inside your heart and your mind. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Who whispers right into the chest, the hearts of mankind. Thus we find that the heart is the most powerful element. There's some discussion about whether it's the mukh, the aql, whether it's the mind, or whether it's the qalb that contains the instructions of the human being. وَلَكِنْ بِصِفَةِ الْعَامَةِ in general, it's the heart. It's the heart. That's why you find the impact of the heart. There's two dangers inside one's heart. Two dangers. That if your heart becomes full of them, that's destruction for the individual. And if both of them fall into your heart, then that's the deadening of your heart. أولاً الشبهات. Doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاتِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Shubuhat, doubts. Muslims come and ask this question, well, if Allah is really the creator, why does he allow this? Why does he do this? Why did Allah ordain salah? Why did Allah tell women to dress like this? Why is the Quran doing this? Why was Islam set down in the 6th century? Why was it given to only these people? هَذِي الْأَسْئِلَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. These questions are not from Orientalists. These are from Muslims inside our society asking such questions. Because how do shubuhat creep into a mind of an individual? Either you read junk, you watch junk, you study junk, or you're influenced by junk around you. Full of junk. So obviously we as Muslims, we don't abreast ourselves with the right knowledge. So whatever a person teaches us, or preaches to us, or says to us, we're so shallow individuals. So shallow individuals. What have we got to do with placing Christmas lights inside our homes? Christmas trees inside our homes? Giving glad tidings to these individuals we mentioned previously. What is this day? A day of them, أَنْدَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا. They attribute a son to Allah. That's the prime belief of Christians. Let's not enter into semantics that some Christians don't believe in this. Majority of Christians believe. This is their belief. Why are we going out of our way and then creating shubhat? It's Abrahamic faith. It's all faiths leading to God. There's no faiths that lead to God except for Al-Islam. Hatman wa laziman. La niqash fi dhalik. There's no discussion about that. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah said inside the Qur'an, there's only one way to Allah. That is Al-Islam. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. There's only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we find inside our wider society, that even Muslims are pushing this agenda, that it's all a global journey, that all of us, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, that let us celebrate Christmas with them, they will celebrate Eid with us. What kind of mentality, logic is this? Surah Al-Kafirun is a refutation towards this. There is no mixing of adyan, there's no mixing of religious beliefs. Yes, there could be mixing of cultures, or sharing food, of dress, of etiquettes, of life. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's no sharing of belief. You don't divide belief up and say, yes, we'll do this on one day, then you do this on another day towards us. Show the same affiliation towards us. The second sickness that enters into the heart is ash-shahawat. It's desires. That's when people say, oh, look at the world. There's many Muslims in the world. They know what their belief is. So what's destroying the Muslims at the moment then? Is ash-shahawat, your desires. Your lust and your desires. And if all these come together as your ego, then you can see the destruction on the face of this earth. When your ego becomes your ilah, your deity, you can see the destruction on the face of this earth of what these people, the extent that they'll go to harm, to kill, to persecute, to oppress, to imprison people. For what purpose? To show that we're powerful individuals. Because when your ego becomes your ilah, becomes your deity, It's a very difficult journey to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we began with, to focus upon oneself, the inner self, the soul, of making that pure to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّةُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I'm going to derail most of human beings, mankind, of the progeny of Adam, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except for a few of them. Another place in the Quran going to come from their right, from their left, from behind, from in front of them. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And most of them are going to be ungrateful. This is shaitan. This is Iblis. You know, sometimes you may have an enemy. The enemies in the world that we go to war in a certain state. The enemy may rest, may pause, build up more troops, have some form of any alleviation or peace contract. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. There's no contract. There's no waiting. There's no giving you a day off. There's no giving you a week off. There's no agreement that's made between you and Shaytan, Iblis. إِنَّهُ يُرَاكُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تُرَوْنَهُ. He sees you from where you cannot see him. But he sees you and he carries on attacking you day in, day out. فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَفِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَفِي أَبْنَائِكُمْ وَفِي بِلَادِكُمْ. In your own selves, in your wealth, your property, your children, your land, everything continuously attacks the human being. Because he made an oath and a promise that I'm going to go after these human beings. I'm not going to leave them alone. But a solution is there. Solution is there for believers. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, the master of everything. So when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the one that will protect his believing individuals. Bring them out the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the ahadith which speak about making these azkar. Shaitan stands at a door and says, what can I do with a person who's mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no entrance in this person's home. Then a person says, Bismillah, whilst eating the food. He says, there's no home and there's no food for me tonight. You know, we Muslims, we find this trivial. Making azkar in the morning, in the evening, after each salah. All this is protecting the individual. It makes it hard for that individual. There's some of the ulama, they write about their seerah and their life, that when sometimes the jinn is exposed and it begins to speak. And it says that this individual, I tried years and years and years on end to try to infiltrate this individual. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَوْلُهُ آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي. But around him was آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي, day in and day out, that protected this individual from me, from penetrating into his heart and his mind. Because it's alimul ghaib. It's a world of the unseen. We only believe in what we can visualize and see, and then we believe in it. But Allah says the believers are those individuals, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Believe in the unseen. Have conviction in the unseen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from the elements of the unseen. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. The one who begins to visit or enter, or whisper into the hearts of mankind. That we find the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, مَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا قَرِينَ مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحْدٍ إِلَّا قَدْ وُكِلَ بِهِ قَرِينَ. There's not ever one of you except when there's a qareena, a shaitan, or your comrade that is placed upon you that may entice you to lead you towards evil. Except for the qareena of the Prophet ﷺ, only commands or tells the Prophet ﷺ to do something which is good, because he has conquered over his qareena. That is only the Prophet ﷺ. Other than that, as we began with the soul, that you find that this battle that takes place within our own souls being good and evil, that there's a whispering towards goodness and there's a whispering towards evil that begins to take place in the heart and the mind of the individual. That's even that some of us at kathratul wiswas, excessive whisperings within ourselves. Some of us, it becomes such a difficult moment inside our lives. It's really taking a person away from a salah. That we find whether it's performance of excessive wudu, performing it again and again and standing inside prayer and thinking a person's prayer has been broken, etc. If this is a continuous disease for the individual, then the ulama mentioned, just begin, offer your wudu, perform your wudu, offer your prayer, and that your prayer is complete. Especially if this is a regular element that takes place inside your life, that is going on a regular basis, every single salah, every other salah, shaitan is attacking the individual. As we know, shaitan does attack the individual inside a salah. Or via this direct attack, or via whispering to disturb the individual about the amount of raka'at that they offered inside the prayer. So we find a shaitan yajri min ibn Adam majrad dam. Shaitan runs inside the veins of human beings, just like blood flows through human beings. And Ibn Kathir, inside his tafsir, he highlights the full context of this hadith. And you can see why the reason he's highlighting this is not just about this concept of the attacks of shaitan. He says, what is the full context of this hadith? The Prophet ﷺ was in a state of i'tikaf. And he would come out to the doors of i'tikaf, and his wives would meet him. On one occasion, Safiya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she meets him and she combs his hair and he speaks to her. And two companions, bin Ansar, they're walking past and they begin to scuffle, walk quickly. And he says to him, Ala risnikuma, be at ease, be at rest. Indeed, it's my wife, Safiya, that I'm standing with. They said, Subhanallah, glorified be Allah. We can't think anything evil of you. You're the messenger of Allah. We're not going to think anything wrong. But he's warning them that if a person places themselves inside a questionable situation, then they can only blame their own self. That's what the hadith is trying to highlight. So here we speak about when a person is working in certain environments or surrounds themselves in certain environments. I'm not speaking about entering the mall or going shopping or being in the library or just by chance on the bus or on the train that someone of the opposite gender happens to sit with you. We're not so extreme in our interpretation of these hadith that the Western world tries to portray about certain people in the Muslim world. We're speaking here about specifically on a daily basis that a person is with the opposite gender on their own, is working with them, etc. That we find. Person should be wary. Why is Ibn Kathir placing the full context of this hadith? Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas, because this is where it begins. It's the whisperings inside the heart and the mind of the individual. And some of us may think that it's extremity. How many cases the imams have dealt with that because of relationships or friendships with their work colleagues, it's destroyed their own home. It's caused problems with their own homes. So we should be wary about these texts, what the Quran and Sunnah, it teaches us about the free mixing of genders. And as we find this new so-called Islamic world, that people have women working around them. For what purpose? And they say, oh, it's a modern world. It may be a modern world for these individuals, but the dangers are there. Person tries their best. Fattakullah mastata'tum, fear Allah as much as you can inside your life. If you have the means and the ways to be in a better environment, try and exert yourself. For what? To protect yourself from the whisperings of shaitan that we find. Min al jinnati wan nas. And his whisperings of shaitan are not just the jinn or the shayateen. It's also from human beings. That's what Abu Bakr Jazari inside his tafsir, he mentions, anna shayateenul insi ashaddu min shayateenil jinn. He says that the devils of human beings are far more severe than the devils of the shayateen. They're far more severe. Another alim he mentions in tafsir that min al jinnati wan nas, an-nas ar-rafiq su, is a bad companion. A bad friend is a devil. That's what they highlight, a bad friend is a devil. Because if your friend is one who leads you towards remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when a day, gentlemen, once again, the person is going to say inside Surah Al-Furqan, woe upon me. I took such and such individual, Khalila. Khalil means your intimate, your close bosom friend. And what did he do? لَقَدْ عَدَلَّنِي عَنَ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He took me away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I was upon the guidance. He derailed me away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah mentioned, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْجِنِّ إِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْدُمْ إِلَى بَعْدٍ زُخْرُفُ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Allah says not just the jinn, but human beings, deceptive, alluring inside their speech. That they're going to be, inspiration is given to them. A form of inspiration to go out and to become what? To plunder, to loot, to harm the world, to harm people upon the face of this earth that we find. And Ibn al-Shawkani inside Fathul Qadir, he begins to speak about Tardu shaitan, how to reject shaitan, push away shaitan via making his adhkar. Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi inside his tafsir of Juz Amma and Juz Ain, two volumes, he highlights 20 different moments inside a person's life or 20 formats that a person should use to protect themselves from the whisperings and attacks of shaitan inside their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to understand these ayat, these surahs of the Quran, to use them in a daily basis. That's what the real intent should be. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, inside his tafsir, he mentioned the intent of these ayat, these simple ayat, these simple surahs inside Juz Amma, is about spirituality. It's about seeing the lessons, about drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that some of them, they begin to complete the works of tafasir with forms of adiyah, supplication. Imam Suyuti lists long supplications to recite after completing the Quran. There may be some element of authenticity towards that or not. But Imam Shawkani, inside his tafsir, he concludes the Quran amongst one of the most spiritual completions of the Quran. Read his completion of the Quran, what spirituality that you find inside there. And that was the intent of all these people who traversed the path of making tafsir of the Quran, is trying to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to live by those words, to implement those words and to change oneself.